He's still saved. If there's anybody here tonight that's not saved and you want to get saved, boy, that can be done real easy.
Yes, it can.
Thank you, William. Years ago, when Squire Parson was just getting going good, we worked a lot of meetings with him, and some recently, but when he was a young man, you look a lot like Squire Parsons when he was young. That's the guy that wrote Beulah Land.
Yeah.
And we were in a meeting together one time, and he sang his song that he wrote, "He Came to Me." When I could not go to where he was, he came to me.
Yeah.
At church that night, I said, "Squire, did you know what you were saying when you wrote that song?" He said, "Well, I thought I did till I heard you preach." So I tore that up. Well, it's good to see all of you all, and I'm glad you're here. What's wrong with the middle section? Do you people sitting over there think I'm not going to get you? Huh? What? I'm telling them best I can. Baptist theme song is "I Shall Not Be Moved." So I'm not going to make any attempt to move y'all from over there over to here. But I am going to get very seriously and tell you, you help a preacher preach when you're right in front of him. You're welcome. I was in a revival down in Fort Worth, Texas. I was at the Hazel Avenue Baptist Church, and the first night we came out, the building was packed, except one straight line about four pews back. People here, people there, but nobody sitting in that area. And I said, "Gail," that was a pastor, "why is nobody sitting right in that section right there?" He said, "You just watch, you'll see, you'll see." And so the service started, and that man sitting on that last seat back there would pick his nose, he would roll it up, he would rock, and he would shoot it. That's the truth if I ever told it. And I turned to Gail and I said, "I want to know just one thing. How far can he shoot them things?" That's the truth if I've ever told it. That really happened. That really did. Well, I'm glad you all are here. And I challenge you to sit closer together in the middle section when you come back tomorrow night. Otherwise, I may start shooting them. Boy, that was good music. Man, I appreciate it. Bill, thank you so much for the message. And thank you for the congregational singing. I get such a blessing from that. I love to hear you sing. I love to, for God's people, I hear God's people sing. See, that's why I'm preaching so much now, because when I get to heaven, I'm not going to get to preach. Not going to be any preaching in heaven, but we're going to sing. But I'm glad you all are here. And I want to talk to you tonight from the first chapter of the book of Colossians. I want to talk to you about being strong in the Lord. And there are just two questions that are important. Number one, how do you become strong in the Lord? And number two, how do you know it if you are? Now, we're going to really see what the Bible says. This could be more of a Bible study than it is a sermon. More than likely, knowing me, I'll probably do some exhorting on the way through. But you've got to get the significance of what the Apostle Paul said to the believers at Colossae. You see, being strong in the Lord, it was the intent of the Apostle Paul. And he wanted those believers at Colossae to be strong in the Lord. Now notice what he said beginning in verse 9. "For this cause we also..." Now what cause was he talking about? Well, back in verse 3 he talked about their faith, their love, and in verse 5 their hope. And then down in verse 8, he said, "We know about your love in the Spirit." Now, for, anytime you find the word "for," that's a purpose clause. Here's why we thank God for you. "For this we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. All right, there's the scripture. Now, I'm going to do my best to take that apart as best I can. Somebody else could probably do better, but I'm going to do it the best I can do about being strong in the Lord. Now, Paul said to the believers at Colossae, I've heard about all your attributes that are wonderful. I've heard about your faith, your love, your hope. I've heard about your love in the Spirit. I know all about that. But now then, I am praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. But now notice the next two words. Here's the key. With all spiritual understanding and wisdom. Now, why did he just not say understanding? Well, there's a difference in understanding and spiritual understanding. Understanding in the general term literally has to do with logic and conclusive thinking. But when you talk about spiritual understanding, you're getting the mind of God, and you see things as God sees it. And that's what Paul is praying for them. He said, I want you to be strong in spiritual understanding and wisdom. Now, folks, you may not agree with what I'm getting ready to say to you, but you're either in the will of God or you're out of it. There's no such thing as the perfect will of God. No such thing as the permissive will of God. You're either in the will of God or out of it. You can't nearly be in it. You can't be as bad as it could be. There are none of those cliches that you can use that will exonerate you from your failure of not being in the will of God. Now, that is exactly what he said. I don't cease to pray for you. And I am praying for you that you might be filled with knowledge of His will. But he said, not that. I want you to be filled with His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the question is, how do you get strong in the Lord? How do you do it? Well, verse 10 will tell you, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now then, leave your Bible open. But look at me for a little while. Let me get your attention up here, because I want to show you a graph in the air as to what he's talking about. He said, I want you to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, you've got to walk worthy. Now, anytime you see the word walk in the Bible, it's talking about your lifestyle. And he said, unto all pleasing. Now, there's the problem. God wants us to walk worthy of all pleasing. I get so sick and tired of Baptists who think that it's honorable and humble to say, well, I know I'm not perfect. I want to grab them by the lapel and say, well, why aren't you? And you say, well, Brother Sam, do you think you're perfect? No. Why am I not? I put myself in the same category. But now, folks, that's the emphasis of the Word of God. You can easily get to the place that you're satisfied with your achievement and you think that you're close enough to God to make God happy and satisfied and to protect your reputation with your family and friend. But Paul just shoots that out of the water. He says, I want you to have spiritual wisdom and understanding, and I want you to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Don't let there be one part of your life that doesn't please God. Don't let there be a couple of places in your life that doesn't please God. But now that's where we're making our mistake today. Most of God's people, let me just imagine something with you. Just pretend that your life is made up of 10 aspects, and 7 of them be pretty good. That's what I can say about almost every Baptist I know. But boy, there are 3 or 2 that are absolutely pitiful. They hide them. They don't want you to know about it. They get mad if anybody mentions it because they want you to maximize these and minimize these, whereas the Holy Spirit wants you to minimize these and maximize these because you are to be strong in the Lord. And to do that, you just walk worthy of the Lord. Not that you go to church more. Not that you read your Bible more. Not that you pray more. You probably will, but that's not really the essence of walking with God. Walking with God has to do with the everyday aspects of the perfunctorial aspect of your life, whatever you do as a family, whatever you do as a job, whatever you do in church, all of it is composite in one. And that's what Paul is saying to you. He is saying, I want you to have spiritual understanding and wisdom, and I want you to walk worthy of the Lord, not in most aspects of your life, but all of them. And quit emphasizing the area where you're strong and start emphasizing the areas where you're weak. And that way you can go to work on them and you can do something about it. He said, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now there's one of those all-inclusive words again. I sometimes wish they were not in the Bible because they show hamstring me. Being fruitful in every good work. Now folks, bearing fruit is not the work of the flesh. I have seen hundreds and thousands of church members who develop spiritual hernias trying to walk worthy of the Lord. I've heard them say, well, you know, it'll nearly kill you to be a Christian. Nearly kill you, it will kill you. If you try to be a Christian in your own energy. Folks, let me tell you something. You have been engrafted into the vine. And you are a part of the great nurturing power of God. And you can't keep the fruit from coming. You can't stop it. And that's why you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, so that you will bear fruit. You get right with God, and you go to living right. You minimize those seven things and maximize those three things, and go to work on the areas of your life that are not right, and you know it's not right. I'll guarantee you fruit of the Spirit is going to begin to show in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you what we've got to get over. We've got to get over this business and say, well, I know I'm not perfect. Nobody is. We've got to stop that stuff. Well, I guarantee you one thing. I may not be all that I need to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Got to lay that aside. Used to beers will become used to beers.
Well.
And if you put the emphasis upon how much you have done, the day is going to come that you're going to feel like that you have done enough to pleasure the Lord right now. And that's going to cripple you, and you'll be a church tramp. You'll come and you'll sit and you'll sing and you'll give and you'll greet and you'll listen to the sermons, but you'll come as you are and leave as you came. I tell you, you've got to deal with the fruit of your life. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Now, I would love at this juncture just to take off and preach on Galatians 2:20 about the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm not going to do it because I want the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. You know whether you have those things in your life. You know whether you're bearing the fruit of a Christian and that you honor the Lord in your everyday life. And if we want to really get right with God and really see God moving on our lives, then we've got to start working at saying no to evil, cleaving to that which is good, focusing our attention on everything that is honorable, and keeping our minds and mouths away from everything that disgraces the Lord. He said, I want you to be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Now, I know some people who have been going to church all their life and they're dumber than a post. I know people that have heard me when I was a pastor. I had men and women in my church that I'd known 25 or 30 years. And I'd preach something that in my judgment was elemental in the Christian faith. And they would say to me, boy, Pastor, I never heard that before. And I hear that all the time when I'm in a church in a revival. Somebody will come up and they think they're bragging on me, but what they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot. They come up and say, well, I never have heard that before. I got to think about it. Think about it, my hind leg. You've been told by the Word of God what you're supposed to do. And you're to walk worthy of the Lord. Who? The Lord, not Brother Tom, not one another, not yourself, but walk worthy of the Lord unto all fruit and increasing, daily growing. That's a continuing article in the language. Daily growing in the grace of our God and getting more and more like Jesus and less like the old daddy. Did you get it? Okay, now let me show you something. I'm going to show you a little wheel. I'm talking about how do you become strong in the Lord. Watch me now. You got to look at this to get it. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You discipline yourself to say no to the evil and yes to the good. And as you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, you begin to bear fruit. And as you begin to bear fruit, you increase in the knowledge of God. And as you increase in the knowledge of God, you can walk more worthily unto the Lord. And as you walk more worthily unto the Lord, you can bear more fruit. And as you bear more fruit, you there. You know what I'm talking about? Sanctification.
Yeah.
And it's a function that works right now. But that's the chemistry of it in the life of the Lord. You want to be strong in the Lord? Well, just quit sinning.
Right.
Now, I know I shouldn't do that, but I hear Baptists all the time confess their sin before they commit it. And I knew I shouldn't have done it when I did it. You ever heard anybody say that? I'll tell you one thing. I wish I hadn't have done it. Well, you knew not to do it, but you went ahead and do it anyway. That's why Paul said, I want you to walk worthy. Build a lifestyle of walking in such a way that as God watched you walk and live, He's happy with you and satisfied with you. And as the Holy Spirit sees your discipline in walking worthy, He began to produce those fruit of the Spirit in you that brings about a great, sweet, wonderful personality. And as you get in that capacity, you increase in the knowledge of God. And the more you know about the Lord, the stronger you can become. Right. Now that's how you get strong in the Lord, according to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
But now look at verse 11. This is what triggered my mind on this exegesis. Strengthened with all might. That's where I got the idea of being strong in the Lord. Now there's that word all again. Strengthened with all might. Paul said, I thank God for your faith, your love, and your hope, and your love in the Spirit. I thank God for all of that. But I want you to be strong in every area of your life. And folks, do you know what I find among the people of God? Complacency, satisfaction, giving up concept. Well, I can't be perfect, so I'll just not worry about those things in my life. Now, you think about them in a minute. Think about things that people do that they would not do in the presence of Jesus.
Well,
did I ever tell this church about what I did to that guy at the church in Mobile, Alabama? I was there in a revival meeting with Jerry Vines at Dolphin Way Baptist Church, and we had a day service. And there was a young preacher sitting right across the table from me, and he had the most pitiful Bible, a little old cheap Gideon Bible that he wore plumb slick. And I said, son, is that the only Bible you got? He was a preacher boy. He said, yes, sir, that's all I can afford. And there was a bookstore right across the street. So I just left and went over and got him a real good, genuine leather-bound Bible. And as I was coming back to the church, a man was coming out of the educational building. And it's kind of cool that day, so he had an overcoat on. And as he came out of the church house, he lit up. You know, you don't smoke. The cigarette does. You just the sucker. He took that cigarette, took a great big draw of it, and he saw me coming at him. And when he saw me coming at him, he cupped it in his hand and run his hand down in his overcoat pocket. Tom knows what I did. I just spun around and walked with him. And the smoke was just coming up. I don't know what he did with that which was already in his lungs. He never expelled it. I don't know where it went, but I just walked with him for all the way to the corner block. And I said, well, I've got to go back to the church. And I walked away and looked back over my shoulder. He was beating on his coat pocket. Now, here's the point I want to make. That's not being strong in the Lord. Now, he was in a Monday service in the daytime at the Dolphin Way Baptist Church. But he did not seem to understand that his body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that if you defile that, God will destroy you. Now, it's not just cigarettes that we need to be concerned with. 60% of America today is overweight. 48% are obese. And the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says you defile that temple and God will destroy you. Folks, you walk worthy of the Lord. If you eating pie makes you fat, you don't eat pie. If smoking a cigarette hurts your lungs, you don't smoke cigarettes. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, so that the fruit will come out of you that God wanted you to bear for Him. And as it comes out, you learn more about the things of God, and that wheel just keep going round and round, and you wind up strengthened with all might. Do you get what I'm saying? The emphasis is upon entirety. The emphasis is upon consummation. The emphasis is upon being strong in the Lord, and you can't deduce yourself to be strong unless it's in every area of your life. You say, well, preacher, you expect us to be perfect? Well, yeah.
Come on.
God does.
Right.
Be ye perfect even as I am. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Well, does God think we'll ever do it? No. But that's the standard that He's put out there for us. And we ought to be bothered by the fact that we're not strong enough in the Lord to say no to the lust of our flesh, say no to the things that'll hurt us, keep our mouth shut instead of gossiping, and turn our ear backwards on our head when somebody starts being critical about the things of God. Folks, what I'm trying to say is we've got to work at being strong in the Lord. Now, you're going to be surprised when I answer question number two. How do you know if you got it? I'm not there yet, but I will be. Strengthened with all might, look at verse 11, according to His glorious power. Now, listen carefully. I'm not going to do damage to the Word of God. If you've got some doubt about this, you ask Dr. Rush to check it out for you. That might be a mistranslation. According to His glorious power. That ought to read according to the power of His glory. You see, there's no structure in the Greek language. And the translators translated the words and then put them together. And listen carefully. If you get this, it will make a hallmark in your life. God is not glorious because He's powerful. He's powerful because He's glorious.
That's right.
And it is not God's power that you need. We bug God about that.
That's right.
It's His glory that we need.
Yeah.
I had a pastor ask me one time, said, would you go make a soul-winning visit with me? And I said, sure, let's go. He said, oh, we got to go to church out and pray first. And I said, why? He said, we don't want to go visit without praying. I said, don't you believe the Lord? What are you talking about, Sam? I said, well, the Lord told us if we go in His name, He'll go with us. What else do you want? Think about it.
Right.
Think about it. Now, folks, it is not the power of God that you need.
That's right.
And that's what everybody is telling you. That's what the charismatics are saying. That's what the overzealous Baptist preachers are saying. That's what the do-gooders are saying. That's what the motivators are saying. You need power in your life. No, no. Forget power. What you need is the glory of God.
Amen.
What you need is walk worthy of Him, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, until that wheel just keeps turning, until the day will come that the glory of God will be revealed in you. And you will be, I got chills all over me thinking about that. The glory of God will be revealed in you, and you then have the power. Then it comes to you. And Paul said, I want you to be strengthened with all might according to the power of His glory. Do you get it? Nod your head yes if you do. I like Baptists to be bobbleheads.
Yes.
Do you get that?
Yes.
Okay, so it is the glory of God. And what you better focus your attention on, whatsoever you do, do all in the name and for the glory of God. You better examine every activity of your life, examine every attitude of your life, examine every attempt of your life to do anything, and see if it glorifies God. And if you can't say unequivocally, yes, sir, that glorifies God, you better stop it. And it's a daily battle. Folks, I've been preaching this 63 years, and I still fight every day, and some days I lose the battle. And so will you. But, brother, there's new armor for the next day. And you can put it on and you can go to battle and you can win the victory and you can become strengthened with all might. Now, here comes the kicker. I want you to look at what the Bible says is the result of being strong in the Lord. Verse 11, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Hello!
Amen.
How do you know you're strong? You know you're strong when you can get to where you're patient in everything.
Well.
How do you know you're strong? Well, when you get to the place that you can suffer long and not lose your joy. How do you know you're strong? Is when you can get to the place that you can give thanks unto the Father. Now, I wish God had let me edit that, because had God let me edit that, I would have taken out the word all, and I would have just said that if I get strong in the Lord, I got patience. But he said all patience. Now, that rebukes me like you'll never know. If my wife would be honest about it, she would say, preacher, heal thyself. Because I'm not patient in everything in my life. But I know it, and I confess it, and I'm working on it. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I used to be a minus 2, now I'm a 9. There's not very many things that bug me and tear me up anymore. And I'm still working. I'm still on the journey of walking worthy and bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. And when you've got the strength of God in your life, you don't get bugged and bothered by what happens. My wife would tell you that when I was pulling that 40-foot trailer for 30 years in evangelism, I'd be going down the road and things had been going wrong and my flesh had gotten the better of me. And somebody would come by and honk at me because I wasn't going fast enough. And as he went by, he'd make a gesture at me indicating he thinks I was number one. And if I was right with God, I'd say, God bless that man. But if I wasn't right with God, I'd say, same to you, fella. Don't laugh at me. You've done the same thing. Because it feels good. It satisfies. Yeah. I was a boxer when I was a young man, and I loved to fight. I'd fight at the drop of the hat, and I'd drop the hat. But not as a believer. The scripture says that when we get strong with every aspect of our life, we are patient in all things. Now, you got to deal with that. You're not going to be able to get away with that because the word won't return void. I'm here as God's messenger to tell you that Paul told the Colossian believers that if you get strong in the Lord, it's going to be evidenced by your being patient in every particle and part of your life. Well, if not all. He said, long-suffering with joyfulness. I wish you just said long-suffering.
Yes.
I'm good at that. I was a boxer. I boxed from about 12 years old all the way through. I was middle linebacker in football at 200 pounds. I know how to suffer. I know how to fight through injury. I know how to get knocked on my huh-huh and get up and go on and win the bout. But I didn't have any joy in it. And there's nothing spiritual about you being tolerant.
Well,
unless you can be joyful. There's nothing spiritual about you being forgiving unless you can be joyful.
Well,
there is nothing spiritual about you being tough unless you've got the joy of the Lord.
Well.
And friend, what that means is this. If there are events that occur in your life that takes away the joy of Jesus in your life, you ain't strong in the Lord. For you see, Paul said, I want you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Not your own, but in the power of His might. And I want you to be so strong that you can be patient in everything that occurs in your life and that you can suffer because you're supposed to suffer. Christians are going to suffer. But if you're going to be strong in the Lord, you've got to suffer with joyfulness.
Right.
You've got to put up with adversity without you losing the gladness of God in your life. And then finally, give thanks unto the Father. You know why we don't thank God? Because none of this other stuff is true in our life. We don't thank God because we don't know how to suffer. Why, this happened to me. I've been going to church and tithing for 20 years, and this happened to me. I wonder if God don't love me. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, let me prove it. Did you know that in every church, and Tom is going to say that's right, when an individual has a difficulty or a backset or a trouble or finds out something that is disturbing, first thing they do is drop out of church.
Yep.
Am I right, Pastor?
That's it.
And the reason they do it is because they think God has let them down. And I had them stupidly say to me, well, I just don't feel worthy to come. Well, you ain't never worthy. You're implying that there are times you're worthy to walk into the presence of God. And God says, I'm so glad you've come. No, no. You are to walk worthy of the Lord, bear fruit, increase in the knowledge of God, that you may be strengthened with all might, and that when you get strong in the Lord, you are going to be able, without any doubt whatsoever, be patient in every aspect of your life, suffer like you are supposed to as a child of God, and be glad in Jesus when it happens, and you just go around giving thanks unto the Father.
Amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father. Well, that's how you know if you got it. I've told you from the Scripture how to get it. That's up to you. And you can't do it in one event tonight. This is not a come hither or a come forward invitation. Because you can get out on your knees or stand on this altar and you can say, I'm going to do it. Uh-uh. You'll get your block knocked off. What you better do is get your prayer closet and get before God Almighty. And ruminate on what I've said. Just chew on it. And think about it. And then decide, do you really want it? Do you really want to be the kind of a person that everything you do is honorable to God? No habits that dishonor Him. Your eating habits honor Him. Your relationships honor Him. Your recreational modes honor Him. I'm tired of naming stuff. I get so tired of that. The Holy Spirit of God will tell you the things in your life that does not honor God if you'll just ask Him. But you better not ask Him unless you mean it, because He will tell you what you need to do. I'm going to pray for you that you'll be strong in the Lord. Father, I want to thank You for a congregation to listen to me. And I pray You're satisfied with the way I've handled Your word tonight. And I pray for myself and Brother Tom and all of these dear people that are gathered in this building that we will learn to be strong in the Lord, and that folks will bear the witness of our life that we are patient and that we suffer with joy and that we're thankful Christians. Thank You. Hallelujah. Amen.